Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Friday, the 29th of July. First up, Will Smith just released an absurd apology video on YouTube, and Chris Rock responds.
Everyone's favorite YouTuber. Remember how, like, all these celebrities came to YouTube, and YouTube forced their videos down our throats? That era's kind of gone by the wayside now. But, you know, it was fun for a while. And Will Smith was, of course, one of the most memed creators of all time, with his infamous "That's Hot" line in the YouTube Rewind that was endlessly memed. Now, I have to declare Will Smith is an actual YouTuber because he's uploaded his very own apology video, complete with all of the paramounts, all the core tenets of a YouTube apology video. What's one of the first things you think about when you think about a YouTube apology video, right? The long sigh, right? Let's see. He uploaded this video this morning, which, by the way, has shocking few views. But let's see how it starts. It's 5 minutes long. We're not watching the whole thing, but here we go. So the screen says it's been a minute. Over the last few months, I've been doing a lot of work, thinking and personal work. Okay. You asked a lot of fair questions that I want to take some time to answer. Okay. Now we are 10 seconds into the video and there it is. For 3 seconds, you hear the classic YouTuber long exhale in an apology video. I love that his second long sigh. Okay. So that's two in the first 18 seconds. People who, by the way, are watching this and are like, "Oh, it's so authentic." Forget, like, this dude literally just got an Emmy for acting, okay? Will Smith can act. There's no question about it. I like how he has an entire film crew. Instead of just, like, recording it himself, he used the entire film crew.
Why didn't you apologize to Chris in your acceptance speech?
Can he not read? That was a weird... What's the cadence to read something?
I was fogged out by that point.
So, of course, every major media outlet has now covered this. Will Smith posts emotional apology video for Oscars incident, says Chris Rock is, quote, not ready to speak with him. Will Smith has opened up about the ongoing controversy surrounding him being a total moron the Academy Awards, offering up his most unvarnished thoughts about an altercation that has marred his public image in an emotional YouTube post. Smith addressed why he didn't apologize to Rock when he accepted the Best Actor prize in his work for King Richard shortly after he charged the stage. "It's fuzzy," Smith says. "I've reached out to Chris and the message that came back is that he's not ready to talk. And when he is, he'll reach out." Smith once again reiterated that he was sorry for his actions, calling his behavior unacceptable, sorry. Anybody else wonder why this took 3 months? I mean, it's a 5 minute video. He could have made it the next day. To me, that tells me he really wasn't sorry. He might be sorry now. Maybe his press and his handlers have said, "Oh, well, we need to repair your public image." And now he's saying that he's sorry, but it sure seems awfully questionable. The actor said that he responded badly because Rock's joke referenced the hair loss suffers because of her alopecia. It's a struggle that she has publicly addressed this year. Alopecia is not a struggle, all right? Sorry, not sorry. Maybe there are extreme cases of it, but whatever Jada Pinkett Smith has is not a struggle. And on top of that, she can afford probably the world's best wigs and hair treatments and everything else. So, no, sorry, Jada Pinkett Smith, you're not a victim, and I don't think Will actually thinks you are either. He also, there's no part of me that thinks that was the right way to behave in that moment, who sighs deeply at points and seems to be fighting back tears, he says in the video. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, never, definitely not acting, fighting back, just fighting. He's just being so authentic, guys. There's no part of me that thinks that's the optimal way to handle the feeling of disrespect or insults. He also addressed whether or not Pinkett Smith, who was seen on camera rolling her eyes at Rockstroke, comparing her buzz cut to G.I. Jane, had urged him to charge the stage. The actor said his wife said nothing to spur him on. Yeah, right. We all know. And by the way, I'm not letting him off the hook, but we all know why he did it, okay? I, like you know, I made my own choices, which he did, from my own experiences, from my history with Chris. Would people keep forgetting to, like, acknowledge? He made this exact same joke, like, exact same joke, the day before at rehearsals. And nobody had any problem with it whatsoever. But for some reason, I don't know why, I couldn't possibly guess why, the next day when it was live, suddenly he was mad. There had been some speculation that Smith would open up about the fallout surrounding the incident in a sit-down interview with a high-profile journalist like Oprah Winfrey. But instead, the actor had opted to use social media to directly address his fans, which is admirable, I'll say. In the wake of the incident, Smith resigned from the Academy Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, don't care. The group behind the Oscars were going to fire him anyway, but has otherwise maintained a low profile. Rock, however, recently broke his silence during a stand-up in New Jersey on July 24th, 5 days before this. Anyone who says words hurt has never been punched in the face, Rock joked. He went on to say that he was no victim, joking, yeah, that stuff hurt, MF-er, but I shook it off and I went to work the next day. I don't go to the hospital for a paper cut. On Oscar night, Smith, of course, was an absolute moron night before. So it's like, I think, you know, the media, Will Smith breaks silence, deeply remorseful. Are you, though? Are you? I mean, I know you did this, like, amazing apology video. You know, let's take a little, let's look at a little more.
It's all fuzzy. I've reached out to Chris, and the message that came back is that he's not ready to talk, and when he is, he will reach out. So I will say to you, Chris, I apologize to you.
I don't know why you would do this. Like, I guess if the guy's just, like, not taking your calls, it's probably difficult to maybe apologize to him in the way that you should. But I mean, uploading a YouTube video to apologize for your incident is not the way to do it. Like, you don't owe your YouTube viewers an apology. You owe Chris an apology, I would think, you know, and at some point you've got to man up and do that. I don't think that there's anybody that believes even for one second that this dude wasn't acting on behalf of Jada. Like, there's just no doubt in my mind. And ultimately, he's had to bear the brunt of that, you know, of that penalty, of his actions. But if you look at the comments, it's like people are, people make mistakes. Okay. I'll say this, obviously. And it's like, he shouldn't have to, you know, pay for the rest of his life for it. It wasn't like he, you know, ran the guy over or something like that. But you see, there's people who want to forgive him, and that's their prerogative, but nobody cares. What I took away from all this was just how ridiculous and hypocritical Hollywood was. You know, they talk about, oh, you know, there's just no place for this kind of bad behavior in Hollywood, and, you know, the plebs out there, they're supposed to behave in a certain way, and we really stand against people putting their hands on each other and being mean and all this kind of stuff. Well, okay, but you didn't do anything. You didn't take away his award. You didn't ban him really from anything. He's got his jobs lined back up already. Everyone's already forgotten about it. So look, I don't care if Will gets more acting jobs, not one bit, But I do think it's pretty funny just how hilariously hypocritical Hollywood was that nobody really spoke out against it. Nobody called out Will for what it was. Nobody really called out Jada for being just what appears to be just an awful human being. It was all just rules for thee, but not for me. I hope you enjoyed this video. And I guess with this public apology video, we now know that Will Smith really is one of us. He really is a YouTuber.
And next up today, Wikipedia busted lying for Joe Biden by changing the definition of recession.
We talk about on this channel about how words have meaning, and it's been particularly interesting to watch as those words have been redefined over the past couple of years, whether it was woman, you know, being redefined, or you know, man, or gender, or you know, things like microaggressions. All these are like made up words. We even seen Webster's or Merriam-Webster's dictionary redefine the word woman to either a woman or somebody who has a gender identity as a woman. No, women can give birth. We know chromosomally what a woman is, but Merriam-Webster apparently is some sort of leftist media outlet, and they decide what words mean now, and it matters. They serve the establishment, and it's actually insane. And what Wikipedia has done in terms of the word recession is it's right in front of your face, and it's been hilarious to watch. I'm going to show you the beat by beat of how this administration is literally redefining words to make themselves look better. Now, we all know things are tightening up. I've spoken about this casually. I think I mentioned in a video or at least a tweet how, you know, YouTube ad revenue, for example, in July is down 30 to 40%. It's down massively. Advertisers are pulling back, and that starts on Main Street and all the way up to the big corporate ads. Viewership on the channel year over year, July to July, relatively the same, slightly down, but news has been kind of down this month. But ad revenue down massively because there's less competition, which is what drives up the price for ads. People are pulling out of the market. It's clearly a recession out there. Just walk outside and see it. It's like when I talked about on this channel, like about the COOF and how the local news, you know, coverage was so insane that you thought they would be stacking up bodies at like cordwood in the streets, only to walk outside and see nothing like that. Now, Wikipedia has literally redefined in real time the term recession to resemble Biden's changes, and then locks the pages to new edits. I tweeted this out the other day. This is all, if you're watching the screen, I don't know, if I had to count, it'd probably be almost 30. In just 24 hours, as the news broke about the U.S. economy being in recession, this is the number of edits that Wikipedia had to the definition of recession. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let's call it 25. In 24 hours, changes to the definition of a word. Now, most people define a recession as what, back-to-back negative GDP in two quarters. But now, apparently, in order to protect Joe Biden, whose approval rating is at a legendarily low level, they've redefined that word. And this is not the first time that Wikipedia has bent the knee or kind of served like this left-wing ideology. This via the Postmillennial and Katie Davis Corp. Wikipedia changed the definition of recession on their website to fit the Biden administration's redefined, I'm going to go with the
reimagined
definition. Then locked the page, preventing anybody from updating the website, which is a tool that Wikipedia has long provided. The White House changed the definition. This is like 1984. Like literally. They changed the definition of recession last week ahead of the release of Thursday's economic report. This is how evil that is. Like, they knew that it was going to qualify as a recession. Anybody who's out on the streets knows it's a recession. Anyone who's watching the housing market right now knows it's a recession. But they knew, so they tried to pull a fast one on the American people. The report showed that the U.S. had two consecutive quarters of declining GDP. I said negative, but declining. This was the standard definition. But the White House declared that a definition should be more tied more closely to employment and unemployment numbers. Here's a tweet from Mike Cernovich. Wikipedia has changed the definition to favor the Biden regime and then locked the page. You can see the new definition. In economics, a recession is a business cycle contraction when there is a general decline in economic activity. Recessions generally occur when there is widespread drop in spending. This may be triggered by various events, such as a financial crisis, an external trade shock, an adverse supply shock, a burst of an economic bubble, blah, 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 blah. The page is protected to prevent vandalism. On the wiki page that provides the definition of recession, a message pops up when an attempt is made to edit the information saying that it is protected. The definition of recession has long been defined as two consecutive quarters of decline in real gross domestic product. On Thursday, the Bureau of Economic Analysis released the report on the second quarter GDP, which showed the gross domestic product decrease at an annual rate of 0.9%. Despite the report showing an economic decline, President Biden declared Thursday press conference while discussing an Inflation Reduction Act that the report doesn't actually mean the United States is in a recession. Let me speak to one other issue, the GDP, whether or not we're in a recession. Both Chairman Powell and many of the significant banking personnel and economics say we're not in a recession. Oh, is that top men told you that? The Biden administration quietly changed the definition last week and wrote in a White House blog post, while some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitutes a recession, that's neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. Well, how convenient for you. The Twitter account Unusual Whales captured the original definition. Wikipedia has changed the definition of recession. Wayback's last capture was July 11th, 2022. Based on Wiki's changelog, the line, quote, "there is no global consensus on the definition of a recession," was added on July 27th, the day they announced it. The page is now locked. It's insane. Here's Molly White putting, absolutely begging people to learn how to differentiate Wikipedia articles before falling for clickbait. Here's the quote recession article on July 14th versus today. Question everything, but especially when it apparently originates from a alt-right conspiracy theorist with long-standing grudge against Wikipedia, eye roll. For those with Wikipedia accounts, you can enable visual differences in beta features page. Add a toggle which will allow you to view the difference without the wiki markup. It's a little sensitive how things work. It basically explains how you can tell which articles, which definitions have been propagandized. Of course, revision history. Here you say when you Google recessive, I'm assuming it means recession, they now give you actually put the new Wikipedia definition in print. Not for other economic word searches, though. Wonder why they changed it for this just one topic. Recession, and now you have it posting Wikipedia. Depression, not. In fact, they're serving ads. And you see the left-wing bias of Wikipedia. Is Wikipedia's neutral point of view truly dead? This goes all the way back to October 2020, and it really started degrading in like 2016 election cycle. Wikipedia is the most widely used source for information in the world, and a great deal has been written about the impact of public perception of certain topics. Wikipedia shapes both scientific research and real-world economic outcomes, and it's the top source of medical information for both doctors and patients. The widespread reliance on Wikipedia would not be a problem if it were neutral and an authoritative source, but earlier this year, Wikipedia's co-founder, Larry Singer, declared that Wikipedia's NPOV, neutral point of view, is dead. The co-founder said that. A 2018 study by Shane Greenstein and Feng Zhu compared the levels of political bias in Wikipedia and Encyclopedia Britannica by quantifying each encyclopedia's respective usage of phrases favored by Democratic or Republican members of Congress. Their studies found that Wikipedia articles are more politically biased than those in Encyclopedia Britannica, as well as being selected towards Democrats as opposed to Republican point of views. The study also found that the amount of bias in Wikipedia articles tended to decrease the greater number of people who had edited them. It decreased it. The reason for this trend was explained in an earlier study. Benefiting from the efforts of many contributors, an article is more likely to present controversial content in an unbiased way. Thus, diversity may actually help reduce content bias. Except that's not what they want. That's exactly why they turned off the ability to edit the page, and they referred to it as, quote, vandalism. I mean, did somebody get in the way of your propaganda? Is that what the issue is here? It's insane. And this is well documented again. Wikipedia, here's Washington Post. Wikipedia's political science coverage is biased. I tried to fix it. With tens of thousands of articles on the subject, individual efforts can only go so far. Wikipedia biases. This is from The Guardian, a far left-leaning news source. Even they admit that Wikipedia is compromised. And they're working together, essentially, with your government here in the United States to redefine words in real time, right in front of your face.
And last up today, Amazon panics over backlash to woke politics in Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
It appears that the people over at Amazon have begun to hear some of the feedback. It'd be pretty impossible not to hear the feedback because, well, the hundreds of thousands of dislikes on the trailer in comparison to the few thousand upvotes in comparison would probably tell you a lot. And if we've seen anything before in terms of fan backlash, it can be fixed. Remember the great Sonic controversy when the original Sonic movie came out, how ridiculous Sonic looked? Well, they got memed on into oblivion, and then they actually listened to the fans and they fixed it, and everyone went to go see that Sonic movie. In fact, the second Sonic movie was actually just fine too. I mean, not as good as the first, but I felt like, man, this, they actually listened to the fans, so I'm going to support this. Well, if you're listening to the fans in Amazon Prime, you know that they don't like what they have to offer right now. And there's been certainly plenty of backlash. By the way, if you enjoy the Lord of the Rings coverage, please do click that red subscribe button down below. I would greatly appreciate it. Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power showrunner Patrick McKay attempts to address concerns that the show will embrace modern woke politics. This in addition to what I guess you could say is some targeted press that seems to target fans of the Peter Jackson series that's like what I'm guessing. You see this article that came out just an hour ago. Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, open to talking to Ian McKellen coming back as Gandalf. The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power attempts to stand apart from Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings film series, but Gandalf actor Ian McKellen could apparently return to play the wizard again in the show. It's still very early days and nothing is confirmed, but the Rings of the Power executive producer Lindsay Weber said in an interview that the team hasn't ruled anything out. Well, I wouldn't exactly say that that's coming out to, like, support it. Weber said in the latest issue of Total Film that the production team is open to anything with these characters that include a potential return to of McKellen as Gandalf. Who would say no to Ian McKellen? Nobody on the planet. I'm sure now that they're looking at a lot of this fan backlash, they're probably thinking, what is like the cheapest possible way we can get viewers back interested? Certainly having Sir Ian McKellen come back as Gandalf would be one of those things. They also wrote another article, Sauron in Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, will show up in an unexpected way, showrunner says, trying to, I don't know, build some press. And then you see this article, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power won't be influenced by modern day politics, showrunner says. In a recent interview, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, God, I hate saying that, showrunners touched on rumors regarding the show's politics. Some rumors have been going around recently that the Rings of Power will be affected by modern politics, but speaking to Total Film via Games Radar, co-showrunner Patrick McKay denied this in the case saying that the show aspires to be, quote, timeless, comparing it to the original works from J.R.R. Tolkien. Oh, suddenly you want us to believe that you're just a huge fan of Token's original work. Well, okay. I don't believe you. And also, when we look at like the casting decisions that you've made and your various justifications for those casting decisions, it sure does seem like modern politics is on your mind. When you have the actors and actresses coming out and saying, like, pushing out this word salad where they're like, oh, it's for a global audience of global people that want the representation globally and all this kind of stuff. And this is the token that my kids are going to see. Perhaps the actors and actresses on the show haven't gotten the memo. So the showrunner's out here essentially running damage control, while the interviews that we've seen from certain members of the cast fly in the face of that. Quote, this is one of Tolkien's debate points with C.S. Lewis, his friend and colleague, said McKay. It's very important that he was creating was not an allegory. He was not commenting on historical events of his time or another time. He wasn't trying to transmit a message that spoke to contemporary politics. He wanted to create a mythos that was timeless and would be applicable that at his word, applicable, the it's applicably across times. Applicability. Jeez, can I not talk? Sorry, it's Friday. McKay goes on to explain that every choice the team has made regarding the show is to be, quote, faithful to that aspiration, as they don't want to adapt the material in any way that might make it feel dated. We aspire for it to be timeless. That's why these books still speak to people so much, because so much of what's in them is not aged today. We aspire to do the same thing. The co-showrunner believes that when viewers see the show and the stories and the characters and the context, that they'll feel the same way. Look, I mean, again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've been a Prime member for a bazillion years, long before they actually offered any content. So there's no skin off my nose to give the show a chance, other than the time it might take to watch an episode. Certainly, I'll be covering it in depth on the channel, so in good faith, I'll have to watch it. But I have the utmost of low expectations. The co-showrunner believes that when viewers see it, they'll love it. McKay also touched on the timeline of events compared to the original works have been condensed, noting that humans would die between episodes due to their comparatively much shorter lifespans. Apparently, a non-linear version of the series was up for consideration, but McKay explained that might have prevented viewers from emotionally investing in the series. They were given another look at the show with a new trailer at San Diego Comic-Con, which GameSpot has broken down for you, so you don't have to miss any of the juicy details. Well, there really weren't any juicy details, you know, other than articles like this from Marcello, who just makes up things. There's a line in this quote-unquote interview that is actually hilarious to me. Given how far back the timeline of the Rings of Power takes place compared to Frodo's story, it makes sense for Prime Video to look at relatively different from Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. However, it did not stop a portion of the audience, you mean most of it, from criticizing the Rings of Power as not being faithful to Tolkien's novels. Well, we're only going off, you know, exactly what you've told us. This isn't like an assumption. You basically said this. The Rings of Power have been targeted with complaints about its diverse cast and LGBTQ+ representation, often masked as remarks about the show not being faithful to Tolkien's books. Okay, so what this sentence here is probably one of the most manipulative I've read in a while. A couple of things to unpack with it. First of all, where exactly is the complaint about LGBTQ representation? I hadn't heard a single thing about it. I haven't heard a single thing reported that there would be LGBTQ relationships in Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. So if I hadn't even heard about it, how could I have complained about it? And in fact, I've seen zero YouTube videos mentioning that. So this author, this journalist, is literally making that up. In terms of the diverse cast, sure, a lot of people are talking about that. But what's interesting about the way they frame it, this author frames it, is that they're essentially saying, well, they're saying it's not faithful to the original, but they're really just racists. I mean, that's how this is being framed. It's absolutely hilarious to me. You know, while no production should have to respond or pander to such criticism, the newest Rings of Power trailer shows that when it comes to recapturing the magic of Middle-earth, Peter Jackson adapted the Amazon series has absolutely nailed its mission. Okay, well, I'm not sure. You haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. From what I've heard, there are no rings even in the first season from those who have seen it or seen scripts. And this too, yeah, they try to address concerns. The show embraces. This is all, we've been here before, haven't we? We've been here before with the insanity surrounding The Last Jedi. And then again with Captain Marvel. And then again, where journalists are just making things up and smearing the fans. And it just doesn't work, does it? Now, you could argue that there were a lot of people that paid to see The Last Jedi. And you'd be right. But it also was so divisive that every movie following that, people were way less interested in. It, for the first time, like what would have been inconceivable, you know, with the show canceling, with Disney canceling Star Wars movies, this is because of that movie. And to have the showrunner out here trying to run damage control just flies in the face of everything we've heard, including the panel. The actor's own words on the panel contradict this. These journalists running defense for them. You know, Rings of Power makes fans' complaints look stupid. I've talked about this article before, but I didn't catch that little lie in the end here. This is shaping up to be the next Last Jedi, and probably an even bigger financial disaster for Amazon than The Last Jedi was for Disney. I suppose only time will tell. And in just a few short weeks, we'll see the product. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you click that like button and subscribe today.